Channel 2 right and beginning the visit with Mr. Weaver with Suzanne this Thursday afternoon, the 6th of April, 72. Channel 2 right and beginning the visit with Mr. Weaver this Thursday afternoon, the 6th of April, 72 with Suzanne. Channel 2 right and beginning the visit with Mr. Weaver with Suzanne this Thursday afternoon, the 6th of April, 72.
Like he has his
A gem, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his is so much longer.
Oh, you only cut long right there.
Well, not real long.
That's the way we used to cut the ladies out. Start with long, let it come down here and so on and so forth, taper it up. Some of them, then they got to cut the sheet bob and the wind blow. And you know, anyone come in with straight hair, they'd say they want the wind blown. They look up out on the chart and pick out a windblown. Don't mind cut like that.
Well, I got straight hair.
Well, you'd have called for a windblown.
Probably.
And you know what you give them? Sheep bob. That's sheep bob with straight hair. They got the different names, you know.
Yeah, call them that a windblown.
No. Windblown has for curly hair.
Yeah. But you could tell them that's what they have.
Well, best is to
Wouldn't
tell
them. Wouldn't that make them happy?
No, you had to not tell them anything. Go ahead and cut it like
just
it ought to be. They'd get out right just the way I wanted it. You had to use psychology when you were cutting ladies' hair when they first started. Man, they'd go home and cry all night long the first night. They'd come back and tell me about it then. And I did, some of them come in there, I had the prettiest hair and long, and it was just beautiful. And they'd want me to cut it off. And I couldn't understand to cut that pretty hair off.
Yeah.
And so that they'd ask me what I thought about it. I said, well, I'm going to be fair with you. I said, you're not going to like it to start with when I cut it. But I said, and I'd advise you if I had pretty hair like
that's
that,
fine,
I'd
huh?
keep it. Yeah, I think I can reach it over there. We can pull it right a little bit right here. Just this can be right.
Pull that around there.
Right here a little bit.
Yeah. Push this.
So that I tell them, I says, if you don't go somewhere else, let me cut if you're going to have it cut. But if you just leave it up to me, I'd say not to cut. Why, that's pretty hard. But you take some of them's hair one, it look better cut.
Yeah.
Now what makes these pains in my right arm here this way? That's it like lightning strikes it.
Is that right?
I may drop something there, but don't pay no attention. I started to put a piece of candy in my mouth today. Hershey's chocolate.
Yeah.
I will eat a little of that, but it's not sweet, you see, much. And, you know, I just dropped that candy down just before it got to my hand.
And that's been going on for months.
Oh, my, I've had those spells for years.
For
5 or 7 years. Like I've got right now, but this has lasted the longest. You see, I can't hardly get up in the morning at all. I have to just pry myself up, and I've got a belt right around here to hold me together right there now on the inside of my pants.
Yeah.
It wrenches you a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I seen a fella use that when I was a boy, you know, and he had a wide belt out of the way, and I didn't know it until he got to where, see, I strained myself, hurt my hip right in there, pulling out a 2x6 one time. And sure, and about 4 or 5 layers down and stacked 2x6, me reaching now pulling that out 20 feet long.
Oh, yeah.
And you take things like that, you know. I broke my comb, it's not long like it was. If I stop and rub it, that hefts it sometimes, sometimes it don't. It hit me just then. It hurts nearly a little all the time. Well, till it, I don't know how much longer. Now that starts in my feet and comes on up.
Yeah.
And just goes all through me. And there's a while I couldn't get down to pick up nothing.
Well, now you just use your judgment, Mr. Weaver. Don't you?
You met me on the road coming over here.
What'd you say?
I said you met me on the road coming over here.
Yeah, I'd already started over here because I told her if I felt a little bit better, I'd come on over.
Oh, yes. I noticed your car out there.
And I'd already started, see, and I just came on with the car, and she turned around and came back.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what happened this morning, Mr. Weaver. I was going over there to use the telephone, and I met the school bus. It's right down here, just before you get to Amy Walker's.
Yeah, I think I seen that place. Yeah. I said somebody got in the tired place here.
Right. Well, you see, I was on the side where the water had washed down,
mm-hmm.
and it was wide and it was firm over there. And I got way over there.
Mm-hmm.
The bus just got that much out of the rut.
Well, they got the right away, and they're going to take it on you, too.
Mm-hmm.
You
know that? No, she was...
Then they can't help it in a place like that, either.
Well, I was trying to get out of the road for her.
Uh-huh.
And she got out just as much and got stuck.
Oh, she got stuck, said you.
Yeah. Well, you know who she is. You know, she works in that red and white...
That's Peggy...
Peggy Myers.
Myers, yeah.
Yeah.
She parks the bus right there in Micanopy, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw her drive in, I guess, later on.
Well, she's a fine girl now. That's what some of them is there. I'm not kidding you. And she's altogether different, a lot of them.
Well, she got spinning the wheels, and then it didn't help her. She got out to look at it, and I said I wouldn't spin the wheels. I'd just turn them as little as I could.
That's the way to do it.
But it didn't work. Cause,
too far going, I guess.
Yeah. And good Lord, Mr. Weaver, that thing is heavy.
I reckon that, and the load on that, too, you see.
Yeah.
They're heavy without that. They can get stuck easy without that.
Well, I couldn't help her because I've not had any experience with that heavy stuff. So she gave me the number to call, and I came on down, and I was going to stop at Burnett's, Patterson's, you know,
mm-hmm.
and see what he'd do about it. Maybe he could take his truck, his tractor up there, but he wasn't there. His red car was missing. So I went on over there and called, and that was all there was to it.
What do you was? They send the wrecker out from the up there?
They just send a little old pickup truck.
And they pull it out?
Yeah. You saw that in the road. I guess maybe it
was. I seen where somebody been stuck to.
Yeah. He didn't make much of a rut pulling.
Well, I used to pull out quite a few people. I could pull out pretty good with this with these big tires I got on there.
Yeah.
This that I've got back there, and if you got the right smart weight back there, you can pull pretty good with a pickup. I used to have a pickup with a large tires, and I've got extra larges on this one, this station wagon, so I can go out and sand, you know, on hunting. You only cut this away, didn't you? Like I used to cut it, you know, for a while. Not feather edge it up too high.
Yeah.
I think his girlfriend didn't like the way I cut it. You don't cut too much of your hair off, you know.
They don't like that, Mr. Wheeler. They like it trimmed.
Yeah.
Well, I like it pretty well sick and thinned out, you see.
Uh-huh.
Feels so much better.
Yeah, mine does too. I can't stand it. I tell you what, so if there's special law, I had to wear a mustache and had to. That I believe, you see, the reason I'm not shaving no often now, maybe it's 2 days old now, it only kind of this hand is. I can't hardly use a razor with it. And I never used a razor much with my left hand, you see.
Who was it you had the contest with about growing a mustache?
About what?
Growing that mustache, didn't you know another fellow?
Oh, it was one of my boyfriends up there in Alabama. We decided, you know, I don't remember, we were both all timed into something, you know, we're pulling something on the other, you know. And we agreed to not shave a mustache off. And if one, the person shaved it off, you know, he had to pay the other $5. So that, I don't know, usually we'd see each other pretty often, you know. Well, before we went, we missed each other and didn't meet. They went on for about a month along that way, and mine just got to worry me so bad. I said, well, if it cost me $5, I'm going to cut them off. I shaved mine off. And when I seen him, he'd shaved his off the same morning. And he said he couldn't stand it no longer. And I tried to go where I thought he'd be, you know, and passed his house, went to his house, and he wasn't home. I said, if it cost me $5, I'm going to cut them off this morning. I shaved them off, you know. Felt so good, I never have one anymore. So that, I seen him next day. Went into him next day. Whoop, for short somewhere. Was that in the light?
I think it's in the light.
I didn't think it in the Clippers. Must change clubs the way that looks like. Now you see, I've cut this fell all out here now. I used to cut these kind of haircuts a long time ago. That's called a buff haircut back here. Let that fill in and not cut any. Just trim this on the sides. Don't eat many having to cut like I have mine cut, but it feels so much better, I just go ahead and let them cut it.
And any of your customers cut hair?
Any of them? No.
Not any of them. No. Well, that's something. That's
used to be a man making open cut hair, you know, and he just went to cutting for everybody, you see, and cut some, and they didn't give him anything for it, and he went charging, they wouldn't pay him for it, and they went and reported him, costing
$50.
Just cutting hair? Yeah. He charged me $50, maybe $150 now.
Laid over there.
On these.
You know, we had a bad time about that.
Yeah, I remember.
Glad you mentioned that to me.
I don't remember that, because I have kicked off too many things.
Well, I've done that, too. I've kicked them off myself, and I've dropped. I was watching myself trying to be careful. The reason I'm going to use my shirt, if I drop this, if I dodge it, that, not let that stick in my foot, that's sharp.
Yeah.
That, they won't break those clippers, but my hand. You know, sometimes it, this thumb won't hold, won't grip.
Yeah.
And I was kind of watching it and being careful. Trying to be, you can't be too careful. Now you want to see how this is done over here?
Well, you know, we can make a barb out of her, Mr. Eastman. She can fill out dog papers, can't she?
Best thing I've had yet. I'll have to hand that to her about that.
I tell you, huh?
I accused her of having being trained or having some experience.
Yeah.
She said she had been filled out for cattle.
Yeah.
Does that help you a whole lot, too? You know, I imagine it's kind of the same way of doing it.
I'll tell you one thing she can't do, Miss Eastman.
What's that?
She can't run you down.
Can't run me down?
Now, she's been over there, I gather.
Several times.
A dozen times. She don't leave a sign or anything saying she's been there.
Well, I've seen somebody drive by once or twice, and I thought was there, you see.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop.
Well, I know one time I stopped and went up to the house, and I figured, well, you'd come out if you were there. But I didn't think to leave a note.
You see, they got to turn my dog loose and I'd go off, you know, and I got to take my car off and slip him back there.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they had more than one into it, and they were watching me. One day I told a fella I'd fix a window for him. And I noticed they watched me, you see, and boy, howdy, certain ones. I went to the house. And my dogs are all out, and some of the wires are broken or cut. And I said, well, I don't believe I left that gate open like that. And went on to see, and I noticed a certain fella drive around watching two different ones, you know, and watch, see where I was at. Everywhere I went. And the rest of them slipped around doing the dirty work. Well, I got to take my car off part of the time and slipping back in the house and closing the doors like I was going when I was hid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was going to catch him, you see.
Yeah.
And I haven't caught them yet. They're pretty well organized. And I know when I got two chains on the inside and a latch on one that, you know, this here regular door latches you put on, put the peg down or lock on it. Got one on the outside and I got a chain that comes over and catches the top of it. I got a chain at the bottom and I've had that all loose. And I know good and well my dogs ain't got that much sense.
Not even your dogs.
I ain't got that much sense, hardly, because the way I got them fixed.
Well, what are they doing, Mr. Weaver? Just pranking?
Oh, no. You see, they want my dogs to get out, you know, and those dog catchers can catch them, you see. They'll take them over, they can take them and sell them, you see, at a good price. You see, if my dog gets out, they can call up a strange dog here in the yard, and that dog man come pick up that dog, you know, and take it to Gainesville, and I won't know who got it. All right, to keep it one or two days, they sell it. And there one or two fellas I found out that all they got to do is call him up and he goes and buys those dogs, you know. And like if I go off hunting in the woods, you know, and lose my dog, I haven't had any done that way. They can catch him up, put him up there, you see, and let these fellas know it. Well, maybe the dog will be lost away somewhere else. I've seen him drive where I was hunting, seen that dog man drive around to where I was hunting at. He didn't get mine, because my dogs usually won't let a stranger catch them. See, I feed them myself or anything like that.
Now, is that some of your neighbors doing that?
Yeah, I don't know who it is. Could be, it ain't the closest one that lives closer to your neighbor every time. Well, I've got a few around there. Well, I tell you, I don't care for telling this. Frank's wife and my brother's wife. I don't put nothing past them about my dogs and slipping around.
Oh, right. They don't care for the dogs.
Not that. See, I used to do a lot of work for them for nothing, and I quit.
Yeah.
I don't do any work for them anymore. Because I don't get anything for it. I see that house for Frank over there for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All that sheetrock cut. Wish I didn't charge him. I didn't charge him. Lived up against it, had no place to live. And I went over what neighbor to do it and hobbled around and see it for him. Can you do it this way now?
Hold up.
Now, you see, if it goes this way, you have to catch a comb and come back this way.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes the other way.
So when people play tricks now, they're not playing, are they?
Well, no, some of them's not. Now, I play a lot of tricks on you. I pull jokes on you. And I've had a lot of them pulled on me.
What kind of jokes have you pulled on people, Mr. Weaver?
Me? Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to tell all of them because you might laugh about it. That's pretty good. I've had jokes pulled on me, too.
Well, what kind of jokes you pull on people?
Well, I'm going to tell you a joke that you want to know.
All right.
When I first came to Florida, I started a little farther back, and that's pretty good. That's where I learned a whole lot. One of my cousins was 2 or 3 years older than I was, and he pulled out to Texas. And when he got out there, you know, they said he had never had no experience and knew nothing about working around the oil field or nothing like that. So that his boss man told him, he says, how about, you see, in around those oil fields, they got in the hollers where it drained off and that water oil running, there'd be a building on the other side over there where it's mud about this deep, about knee deep, you know, and that old mud.
Mm.
He told my cousin, says, how about, how about going over yonder and called his name? I've forgotten what name he called the name when he got back. And says, get me that left-handed monkey wrench. Says, he come over here and borrowed my left-handed monkey wrench, and I need it bad. My cousin pulled out, went on, and told him to go follow that little trail going down there and go down through it. He went on, went over there, you know, and he got there, and he sent him to another place, across another place. He waded through that old mud and muck, went on to another place, and about 3 o'clock that afternoon, he hadn't had nothing to eat. They'd kept him going to many different places. And so he went to the last one they had to go to, and he laughed. He says, young man, he says, you put in a pretty good day's work today. He says, now you go back to the office over there, lie down, go sleep, and when the whistle blows, get up, and you get your pay for the day's work.
You mean that?
Well, I'm a cousin, you know. He ate that mud, you see, and all. And he came back and told me. Well, he told us about it, and I'd watch how they'd pull jokes, you know, and the older boys would, you know, and different ones. And this boys come to church over there close to, was up at Union Grove, and they lived down around Bull Springs Schoolhouse. These boys slipped down there at the creek where they had to go about 2-3 miles around riding horses. So as they went back, and these other fellas got them some sheets and tied up in trees and got some strings where they could let them down and come out and hit out there. Then they got up pretty close to that riding horses, you know, and horses can stand there. And so that they began to let those sheets come down and the horses whirled and went to running, and they wanted them to run. They had to go 3 miles around and come back. Had to go back 3 miles from where they'd left the church house, then go on about a mile and a half up the road piece, then go across and come across another ford. Then go home about 7 or 8 miles. And they said they could hear their speed popping for a mile or two as they went up that hill. They didn't slow them down a bit. The horses scared and the boys were scared.
Golly.
And I noticed all like that, you see, and so about 1919 I went out in Arkansas, and I figured maybe they'd get in some of those hunters out there. There wasn't many hunters around there. And ones had quit, but they weren't hunting with me anyway. And so I figured they'd try to pull something on me, but they didn't do it out there in Arkansas. They're all busy working, and they wasn't pulling much pranks, so I didn't run into them. So I came on back, and when I'd been up in Tennessee and places up there, and those boys all was nice to me up there, you see. And I came on down in Florida. I'd got kind of used to the jokes that they'd pulled in different places and heard people talk about them. So that when I came to Florida, boys came in there one day in the barber shop talking. Says, did you ever go snipe hunting? I told him, no. He says, how about us going some night? I said, we'll be glad to carry you. I said, I don't know how to snipe hunt. I know how to hunt anything else, but in snipes, I never hunted any. So they planned the hunt, you know. We'd go one night. I said, now my way of doing, I said, is to get a fifth of shine, and you boys buy it and pay for it. And I said, that's the way we do for where I came from. I says, we always furnished everything, carried the boys out, you know. So they kept talking around. I said, you all get that? And I said, you can place me in where you want to now, and I'll hold a sack, going to get sacks, you know, and they're going to go and drive snipes in there for me. Want me to catch them. Well, I'd never heard anything about snipes, but I figured it was a joke all the time. And so I told them I'd go with them. What I was going to do, if they got that quart of shine, I was going to slip off, because you can't lose them in the woods. But then I'd hunt it so much, you know, in the dark and in strange places, I didn't worry about it. So that they didn't pull out on me. They kept putting it open. I said, when we're going to go snipe hunting, they said, oh, so somebody done told you about it. I said, no, ain't nobody told me anything. And so we went ahead and they never would get the shine, and I wouldn't go with them unless they did.
Oh, you held out on them.
Yeah, I was going to take that and slip over with it, and I was going to have to let the yoke be on them. And they suspicion something, you know, that I'd been told. Well, they got a couple of them now then telling me about certain ones, you know, that used to be there and did this and did that, taking people out and what they'd done, and made them walk home and all this kind of stuff, you see. So they're telling these things, you know, and they're all coming in as my customers. Well, I'm not so smart, but all the time they're doing this, I was figuring too. I figured what I was going to do, you know. And so one night I walked out to the, I was lasting to come out of the barber shop, you know, and I went back there and took a bath. We had a bath and a shower bath in the barber shop. We got through work and it was hot. And I'd always go back out and take a shower bath. And so Saturday night, there's a bunch of them had been out there, you know, and they'd plotted. Just as I walked out to the door here, there two fellas stood, and one sold a big 38 right on me this way. And the other grabbed and said, don't shoot, don't shoot. I said, I looked down, I said, turn him loose. I said, he won't shoot. I said, man won't shoot you unless he gets scared or you make him. And I said, I haven't done nothing to cause a man to shoot me. And so I just told him, I said, that looks like a pretty good gun. You want to sell it? And laughed at him. They took the gun down and went home, walked off. They went and told some other boys. Said, we tried to bluff him. Says he ain't afraid. They didn't know I was wise to all these jokes, you know.
You heard so much talk.
Yeah, they talked too much, and I done figured it out what they were looking for. It. I was expecting them to do so. I didn't know what they were going to do. Well, they told some of the other crowds, you know, in different places, you know. And so that they kept coming in that way, different ones. Said, I'll bluff him. Said, I'm not going to be. Well, somebody, I'd hear them talking off, and I'd catch on a little some of their plan, you see. They didn't think I was listening. And so one night after that, this fella come in. I think the marshal and they all had it made up that night, and the fella I was working for. Because he came in the barber shop, you know, three fellas did, you know, and they was cutting up and hollering to, you ought to hear me howl. Holler just as loud as he could.
Was that Texan?
Yeah, that's that. And I'm getting down to that now. And so that that was two other fellas. There's three of them that night. And so that they just, after a while, the marshal say, you boys cut that out, says I can't have this year, you know, and he waved his gun over his head and says, if you don't like it, says, just get up and take what falls, just kidding him, just playing, you know. I believe it's that all into it, no man I'm working for. So that in his shop, you know, and I didn't say nothing, I just kept working.
At Mr. Wynn?
Yeah, Mr. Wynn's shop, you know. That's who I first was working for. So that we went ahead and after a while, this fella says, you, I'll say things I don't like to say myself. Says, you son of a bitch and barbers must not like what I'm saying. says, you don't laugh when I howl and pull these things. Mr. Wynn, he just laughs, says, go ahead, that's all right, Bill. I didn't say anything. I just stayed quiet over there, you know, around my chair. And I was in a hurry. getting put late then, and we usually took it about 1 or 2 o'clock to get through on Saturday nights. So that I, after a while, this fellow was from Texas now. He got up and he walked over there and he says, "I'm going to shave this man." And this kid just far out of the man was in the chair and him drunk doing that way. He picked up ready to go and shave him. I says, "Bill," I says, "you lay that razor down and go over there and get quiet." I says, "I'm running this chair now." I says, "You're not running it." I says, "Go on over and get quiet." And, "No, I'm going to shave this man," he says. I said, "No, you're not, are you?" "Yes, I am." I said, "No." I says, "I'm running this chair," and I says, "That razor belongs to me." I said, "You lay that razor down, go over and get caught." Deputy says, "I didn't mean any harm by it." I said, "I didn't say you did, but," I said, "go over and get quiet." I said, "You cut up just about enough in here." See, those two fellas would have jumped up. "Come on, let's go, Bill. Let's go." And I knew, I figured it was a joke, you know, and I just go along with them. So that they went on out, and next week I was passing on the street over there. And before that, I got the head of my store. Before that, they went over in the drugstore, and that fella in the drugstore wanted to be dudish, and they didn't special like him nowhere. One of them walked up and said, "That's a pretty tie that I'd like to have and cut it off." There's an old man around now, he was bad, you know, and they went in there and picked his rifle up, went on outside and pointed like they were going to shoot him through the window.
It sounds got rough, some of it.
It does.
Just playing. They weren't going to shoot nobody.
I know.
But and this fella hadn't been there long, this other fella that they just pulled out on, you know. So he just went ahead, you see, and well, it wasn't long after that Mr. Wynn was working in the barbershop that we was working one day, and I knew I hadn't done a thing in the world, and he got to fussing about something. Weighed about 220 or 30 pounds, what he weighed. He's a whole lot larger and taller than I was.
Just a big man.
He says to me, he says, "I weigh 220. Says, I cover the ground I stand on." I was standing there right at my barber chair, you know. I says, "I don't doubt that." He said, "You do so and so to you know." I says, "Go ahead." I says, "Just come on if you want to." Just played like I didn't know a thing. So after a while, he says to him, he says, "You come on outside," said, "I will do it." I says, "Come on." I walked on out in the street and I begged him to come out there. He wouldn't come.
Now that was your boss.
Yeah.
Mr. Wynn.
And I knew good and well that I hadn't done a thing, and that he was a good fellow, too. So he was into it, you see, and the others, you see. I figured he was, you know. All right, Dr. Daly, Jimmy Daly over at Wilson's daddy was there. No, he was a big doctor from Atlanta, Georgia, you know, and he wasn't afraid of nothing. He was going to bluff that little fella.
Oh, really?
And the way this turned out now, he come over to the barbershop. Well, I knew I hadn't done anything. He hadn't said nothing, no harm to nobody. They didn't have sense enough. He wouldn't let me shave him that night. He got Mr. Wynn's chair when most all of them wanted me to shave him. And he began to talk, you know, that there's two fellas in this town couldn't live and stay here. So that I just listened, let him say what I wanted to. And so after a little, I said, "Well," I said, "Doc, that'd be pretty bad. One of them would have to leave here, wouldn't it?" So that he went ahead and said something that he wouldn't have thought I'd have said enough of that, talked about him and done him like that, undermined him like that. Well, I knew I hadn't done a thing, you see. So that I just told him, I says, here's the way he said it. He's come down this way. I don't feel good today. I'm trying to tell it just like it all happened and how the jokes was being pulled. So that... He said I'd have something new if he went out. Well, let's see. He said, no, he's telling me, said, I've been talking about him and he wouldn't thought I'd ever said any harm word of him. He had never mistreated me. And he said that he had paid my way 35 miles out of town if I'd leave and stay out. I said, thank you. I says, I paid my way here and I'll pay it away when I get going to leave me. He kept on talking and started out. Out of the barbershop, he said, well, I'll give you 3 days to straighten up your business and get out of town. Says you'll have something new to tell your mother when you go home that you got into it with a fella and had to leave town. So I said, I've been in the hell of a lot worse place than making open. I've never left there yet till I got ready to. So he went, he said, yep, this one time you're going to leave. I said, I'll be sided to it if I leave. Next morning I walked down to the barbershop, you know, over there, and Mr. Wynn is down there, and he's listening in, watching, you know. I know he's into it too, you see. So that he is watching, and I was waiting for Dr. Daly to come down to his office, you know, he had run the drugstore. I just got up and went walking over there and not saying a word. So that he rushed on in. And he told his druggist in on the inside, says, I got him going. I said, I got him going. And this druggist told me after that, you know, I didn't know it then. He says, I got him going. I called out to the door and I asked him, I said, what in the hell do you mean what you said to me yesterday afternoon? Well, he says, Max, said, I says, way you acted, said, I thought somebody done told you. He says, that's just a joke. I says, don't sound like a joke to me, just come on out here. And he wouldn't do it. He latched the screen door and went back in there. The druggist asked him, says, say you got him, say you got him going? He says, hell no, says, that damn little fella ain't afraid of nothing, is he? They didn't know I was listening in and catching and picking it. It was a joke, you know, and I was just bluffing them.
And that was old Dr. Daly.
Yeah, that was old Dr. Daly, Jimmy.
And his druggist.
Well, his druggist, it tickled his druggist, you know. His druggist, he had been hearing them all plotting this in the drugstore,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And every time they're doing that, they're... Well, I knew I hadn't harmed nobody. I hadn't done a thing to nobody. And I said, nobody's not going to hurt you unless you make them do it. We had a lot of fun out of it. I'd always laugh. Dr. Dale, he couldn't understand it, you know. I said, come on, let's go out and I'll buy y'all a drink, Wynn. I came over in Dr. Space and I'd had him to all ask him to come on and have a drink and cigar with me. Dr. Davis says, you know, he says, you got Mr. Wynn to backing you up, so that's treating you like you are. I says, I ain't got Mr. Wynn or nobody else backing up, don't need him. I just tickled a fellow that'd been listening to them talk, you know, tickling them to death, you know. So that. He said, I'd like to get you out, go out on a call with me sometime. And says, see what you'll do. I says, anytime, just name it. We'll go right now if you want to. And we didn't go then, but that afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he says, I've got to go around Evanston, McIntosh, down in there, and they're building a highway, and we had to go all through those places. So I called the car with him, we drove on down there. Dr. Davis just talked just an answer to the audience. He didn't say anything about anything about the joker anyway while we was gone.
Well, that was Dr. Daly and Mr. Wynn. They was two of the head men around there, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah.
And they were laying for you.
And, after that, you know, a fellow that can wrestle and box and practice a lot, you know, and he's a kid, and a small fellow is faster than a big fellow. After that, about a year after that, right there in front of Myers' store, Mr. Wynn had moved the shop over there, you see, and I run a fur business through the winter and didn't work barber for it. And we worked together the whole time, you know. If I owned a barber shop, he helped me on Saturdays. He owned it, I stayed down and run it for him while he was running his prison club. Fine man to work for. And I knew good and well that they wasn't going to bother me, not anybody. I didn't think he would, you know. But what was funny, you know, I was reading their plans while they was planning it. So figuring it. I was going by what my cousin got into, you know, out down in Texas.
That's a good thing. You was in with your cousin on that, wasn't it?
Well, it's a good thing that I knew it. I'd have got scared and wrong.
Well, what in the world would have happened, Mr. Weaver, if you had got scared?
Well, I'd left town.
Yes.
If I'd have got scared, I'd have left town.
And that would have
what
been...
What they're aiming to do, they had a plan when I packed my suitcase and I went to leave, you know. They was going to tell me just a joke and said they didn't want me to go. And they come clean and told it all about it. Well, Mr. Wynn said one day that I had to go out and shoot pool with him, you know. And he'd said that once before, you know, out there. And I told him I didn't want to shoot then. I want to do a little more bookwork in there. And I went on in with him. And that time, next time he started out, I said, no, I'm not going, just playing with him, you know. And he was playing with me. So he grabbed me like he was going to take me in there, you see. Grabbed at me, you see, and when he grabbed at me, you see, I just went down, made him glance me, and I grabbed him this way and slung off the sidewalk. When I did, he came back, grabbed at me again, and when he did, I did the same thing again. Slung him off, and that curb's a little high there to step off. And then I went to life, you know, and a bunch of them, seeing us playing there, you know, they're laughing about it. So that I started to walk off, and he made a dive at me and grabbed me and says, what you little dickens think you were doing? And laughed and caught me. But I dodged him and grabbed him, and I threw him up on my hip, just, you know, if you know, you ever been told that hip lock? Man, you can just walk a man off, had him walk me in. Yeah, the ground so hard. And I grabbed Mr. Wynn out of the way and I pitched him, least his head, as 4 minutes after right out in the street, right out his back. And I didn't mean to do hand him so rough, you know. But see, he didn't know how to wrestle. He had never wrestled or nothing to play like that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, all in the world, you can just bend yourself out of the way and grip right back there. People grab at you back round this way, he slides, I don't know, you come right out right quick. Just as simple as he's done. And so that when I done that, I was afraid I'd hurt him. I started to go out there and he looked like he was mad, you know. And he tried to find some trash or something to throw at me. I run across the street. When I came back, I figured that he'd be all right. I said, come on, Mr. Wynn, let's go down and shoot pool. I'll go down and shoot pool. We were going to shoot pool. He didn't say, he didn't get mad about it. And I did. Well, I didn't, because I didn't care. if he'd got a hold of me, he'd have thrown me across the street, as small as I was.
No, you had to move pretty fast, Mr. Wynn.
He's all gone right. I liked to know how to move. Last time, fast enough. The other two times was easy.
Yeah.
But that last time.
But you were laughing when that
was. Yeah,
wasn't
I was laughing and wasn't in position, wasn't gripping myself, you know. You see, that main thing is, you can hit right down it, and you can feel it. Now grip that neck. Grip down on your neck. Grip hard. Don't hurt half as bad, does it?
No, I don't. Well, it don't.
And you just practice that. I beat on myself this way.
Well, what do you know?
If you grip the muscle now, grip on this muscle right here now.
Yeah?
I can't hit you hard on how my this hand's too sore.
I get the idea.
Now, don't grip. Don't grip. Now, you let it be relaxed now. I ain't hitting half as hard.
Yeah.
You can feel it too.
Oh, Lord, yes. Well, I didn't realize that.
Well, my goodness alive, you just peck on yourself this way. You can peck on that way, and somebody and on the muscle on your deck, they get close to somebody and hit you hard. It won't hurt you.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, that's what they do in these wrestling matches, ain't
it? Oh, yeah, and boxers, I train at you. They hit so hard and don't hurt them. They grip that muscle. Now, I'll tell you when it does damage, if you relax down there and one of those big fellas hits you.
Oh.
It's
yeah.
too bad.
Yeah.
But as long as that muscle's gripped there, it don't hurt.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know.
That's what you got to.
Well, you know.
You got to practice it. Well, I didn't care. I would let them catch me around the neck and sew them loose, never use a hand. I'd practice it, you know. And after I got one fella up there in Tennessee, tore my ear apart, pulled it about a half an inch right there. As he went loose, I quit.
Man, yes.
Do you want any of this cut off stuff this time? Going to go out.
Always cut some off, Mr. Weaver.
I'm afraid I've been cutting off a little too much of it. The last time I didn't cut near as much as I've been doing.
No, I noticed it too.
Didn't like it, did you?
I like it short, but you know it.
It's best not to cut it too short. It's kind of work that you're doing, what has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You working up there, work you doing, you got to kind of go along with other hippies. I had to pull that on you.
That just come out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the way you're talking, you had to be ready, though, if somebody wasn't making it a joke. You know, somebody tried something and it wasn't a joke, you had to be ready for them.
Well, sure, you got to be ready. You got to be on the watch out. Never let nobody hit you or anything like that. And,
let me see where she is.
I knew I was going to leave out.
I'll be right back,
Miss.
Okay. Let me see where
it is.
Hey?
Where
are
you? I'll get you cut back my hair.
Okay.
No, I don't need it.
Huh?
I'm going to let it grow out, I think.
Let
people keep saying I'm
come
a boy.
Come on, I've got to tell nobody what you want.
Okay.
I just want to tell Facey.
Golly, I did.
Hey.
Honey.
Hey, what you doing? Working hard?
Well, you're working hard in my eye. Like to me, I thought I was sleeping.
Oh, you sleep?
Have you already done a haircut?
A little bit.
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hey, you have to put your glasses on so I can see.
Yes, I can put them up here.
Yeah, we will do.
So forget them. I can't lay anything down, Mr. Weaver. I go off and leave them.
I do too, and I forget where I put them. I'm bad at that.
Oh, don't talk about that.
Is
that's
this cut
awful.
Short enough?
I'd be so.
The
good.
One thing I can't do is put things up where I can find them, Mr. Weaver.
Well, sir, I'll tell you what, so I reckon I was as good as ever was for a long time, and now I am the source, and I lay it down and go in the kitchen, forget what I started going
for. Yeah. Half the time it looks like I'm looking for something that I put away.
Well, I'll tell you what the eyes had a lot to do with that. These bifocals I got, they're not correct, or my eyes, something wrong with them, they can't do nothing with them.
I can't see up here and I can't see out there, so there's something wrong.
That's what hurts me. And bifocals glasses sure does. Now, 14 inches I can see with them. But when you get a little farther, I can't, and get that distance of glass, and I can't see either way then. And it makes it hard on. If I'm looking for something here, I can't find it. You're looking at it.
Before I forget it now,
uh-huh.
That's what these other fellas were going to play on you. But now, you have played it on them.
Well, we I don't know how you'd call that, but I reckon there's one fella that I hadn't told you about. He was going to carry me home one night.
Yeah.
And to the hotel, I stay in the Tuscarora Hotel. It tore down. Now they just tore down here not later, but the last of it. And there's three big hotels in there.
Where was that?
Well, you passed right by one of them, you know, right back to Buster Mountains there.
Yeah.
It used to be a Carolina House there.
Yeah,
about 30
yeah.
Some odd
hotel. I mean Tuscarora Hotel.
No. Tuscarora, that was...
Was that up there in town, too?
I stayed at Tuscarora Hotel back around there towards Carla Sherhouse. Right across
yeah.
from
yeah.
Carla Sherhouse's place.
Yeah.
And Nettles lives there now in the trailer.
Yeah.
They tore the last of it down. I wanted to buy that part that they left there for a while, but I never did get it. I was going to pick that out of the best heart pine that there was in this country.
Oh, really? But you have got it off on some of the others.
Oh, yeah, and I've had jokes pulled on me, too, I bet, too.
Have you? You mean actually have got you?
I had a joke pulled on me. Was you ever in the suckers contest?
No.
Suckers contest.
Well, they had
suckers.
Suckers
yeah.
contest.
Oh.
Well, you see, they had three groups, and they had to choose the ones they wanted to be in their group. You
in
see,
the contest. Two,
in the contest. All right, they got Mr. Wynn. Miss Barton was a school teacher here, weighed about 250 pounds, and Mr. Wynn weighed 230, I think. I weighed about 130, 135. And my group all voted for me, and they got those, you know, and they put us up on the stage. And so that we didn't know what it was. I didn't. Mr. Wynn didn't. I'd never heard of it before, but I just went on. I said, well, I'm just a sucker. They would put me in it. Voted me out of the biggest sucker. I'm going to be one. So I'm going to win the prize if I can. We got up there, and had the rule was, here come a lady out there with three Coca-Cola bottles full of milk and nipples on them. And we had to suck that milk out in front of the whole crowd, you know, a big crowd in the church house. And so we were standing there, you know, and I said, well, I know how to back down yet. I've always went on the road. So just as I said, three, and we couldn't pull a nipple off and we couldn't bite a hole in it. And we had to suck that milk out right down in front of everybody. All right. Yesterday says three. I slapped my bottle in there, and everybody laughing at me, trying to laugh, and not. And I couldn't suck the milk very good for laughing. So that Mr. Wynn stood there and just looked this way. Hell is, and he didn't. Miss Barton, he grabbed her. She gnawed a hole in the nipple and drank it down. Well, I was watching her bottle and mine too. I was beating her. I was the biggest sucker for a while. When she drank it out, then she won the prize. Well, they said that we couldn't do that, you know. And I was trying to play fair. Now I'll tell you, peanut. Did you ever get in a peanut contest?
Where was that?
At the Presbyterian Church House down there one night.
One night where you were just having a little entertainment.
Yeah. And that was in the play and program, you see, and just for the children all to go to. See, everybody went to church then and had the Christian Devil and BYPU and Epsis League and things like that. We had big picnics. We'd give them big picnics and everything. We really enjoyed it. We played baseball, but they quit that. And so they had a peanut contest one night, and that put a oatmeal can full of peanuts, and gave you a teaspoonful, and you held it on your head, and these is in a plate, peanuts was in a plate, and you had to pick them up without that and put that him that away.
With a teaspoon.
With a teaspoon. Well, I noticed that the rest of them were sewing, and I was doing the same thing, putting in quickly, sewing it over. Sew it up there, you know, and you're going on over. Well, I just got to dip mine up this way and remember pulling my box for and dropping it in this way. Went slow, and the rest of them were going fast. That's why some of them say, if you don't get faster than that, says you just well to quit. Well, I got 90 some way up in the 90s, and the next one to me was 80 when they counted the peanuts that I'd got in there.
Oh, I see. Golly. They had all sorts of things to do.
I bet you all been in, have you never been in no contests and plays that way?
Not like that, Mr. Weaver.
You ever get in a woman's wedding?
In a what?
You ever see a woman's
wedding?
Woman's wedding. I've been in that.
Oh, you have?
My boyfriend and mine, we went to town to see that woman's wedding. We got out there, and there's two, there's short of two that didn't show up. And we had to take their place. And we didn't get to practice but just a little bit. And it made it a little bit hard, but how to be the program, what they're doing, you see, one is bad is part of it. Now that boy, the man that played the bad boy, he was a good one. Now weren't nothing to it.
Yeah.
But they'd been practicing, you see. And
bad boy in a wedding?
Yeah. Oh, he's into everything. And had a big old, he was a little bitty man, you see, and had a big fat man trying to keep him out of everything and running around. Everybody dressed up, you know, but just me and this boy, and we didn't have no dresses on, because we just filled in for him. And had a little bitty fella, you know, was getting married to a big fat woman, big fat man, you know, and she was dressed up with a woman, I forgotten who it was. Me and this other boy, one had to kiss the bride. Well, none but me and him this womanless wedding.
Now, this was in a church function, too.
No, out of school.
Oh, school.
Oh. What it had, they used to have up here in Micanopy. They'd have those big commencements at the school. I don't know what you all call it now. You may not even have any program at the school. I guess you do, though. Don't you have some kind of play and program at school?
Oh, they have speeches.
Speeches.
And that's about all.
Well, you had to do a lot of acting. So, me being smart, you know, I got into it. I had to preach a nigger sermon up here one time. I told them that there wasn't something in between the acts, you know. They had some good acting, just like they do. Of course, they see so much television now, and it's just like they'll do it over television. And we all had to practice and be in those things.
Did you have to get up your speech yourself?
I'd get up and preach it like a nigger.
Yeah.
I think what my text was. I figured y'all had heard all of this, you know. I could tell you, talk a week or two, tell you about the play and things like that. But now I was in the play one time that I was a salesman, you know, and he was a farmer, bro, and I come across him and I'd ask him how to go to certain places. Had names, you know, and all like that. He told me to go on down, to turn so many roads, and when I got down there, I'd see the old hen, the old sow, and pigs, and so on and so forth, and all like that. It's funny when you get there. Of course, I can't tell it enough to be funny now. I don't remember. So that I'd ask him where to go, certain house to go to, you know, and he'd tell me. Say, go on down, you come to the turkey's nest, and says, take the turkey's nest on your back and go on so on. And it was a good program.
See? Now that was over at Micanopy. That wasn't up in Arkansas.
No, that was in Alabama. That was.
That was
when we were boys about this high, you know. And down here, Professor Johnson was telling me that they wanted is trying to get something between some acts that they had in there. And I says, why don't you get someone to preach a nigger sermon? And he told his wife, and they all came to me, and all wanted me to preach it, you know. Well, I was pretty busy and didn't get to practice it much, but I practiced a little bit while I was driving in the car, you know, and if I could go through with it, I couldn't do it now, but like I formed it up, it was pretty good. You had prayer, you know, and I had singing, you know, and everybody singing different classes of songs, you know.
Yeah.
And I had my choir, and
oh, really?
Just like a choir, you know, and it's fun if you go through it all, just a little sketch of it, you don't realize it being fun. It's kind of like the cows we used to take the bells and get in the field, let the farmers run us.
That was the cutest thing. You had heard the nigger preachers?
No, I'd heard niggers preach, but I never heard this. Now, this is made up at the white schools, you know, that use this.
Oh.
I'll take my text, the two-page, you know, blue back spelling book. I can't speak words reading, I get balled up a lot of times. And I said, it reads kind of like this. I could talk to him good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. A, B, C, and just get to the hollering as loud as you can squall. Then when, see, I've got no wind now at all. I had good wind then. I could holler for a long time. And I was cutting all the monkey motions, and I turned over tables and everything, you see. I'll take my text, oh Lord, I see, when I hear my prayer, I'm not telling nothing like half of it. Here was the prayer, you see. Oh Lord, pour kerosene on this nigger's head and set him on fire. That was my prayer when I got through with it. It's funny if you could go ahead and have it all going on like it was, but it's just for fun, you see, all that kind of stuff was. It wasn't meaning throwing off on colored people or anything like that, because colored people has got feelings just the same as anybody else.
Mr. Weaver, was it you put quinine on that boy's tongue?
No, I had my brother and some other boys done that.
What was that, Miss Weaver?
Well, they were going to stay in school at dormitory, the elders, going to school, you know, my brother and a bunch of boys. I was there part of the time, but I don't think I was there then. I know I wasn't. So that his boy would lie down every day, and he'd go to sleep just as soon as lie down, you know, and slept with his mouth open. And some of the boys, they got capsule of quinine, you know, and you know, I believe he got a bottle and got a spoonful of it. And he'd lie in our sleep, and they slipped in his room and poured that quinine in his mouth. And when then they slipped back out, and they're all back out in the lobby, you see, and out there. So here, after little, this boy woke up and he come in there, he's spitting, just a spitting and everything, you see. So he says, boy, says, Gene, is such a thing as your gallbladder bursting.
Somehow all that sounds like old Tuck Mac. I'd just say he would be in for any of that, Mr. Weaver.
Never seen Tuck in there. Tuck was working all the time, man. I never.